Good morning. Good to see everybody in God's house. Turn to tell the person right next to you, God's got something for you. All right. That's funny how, getting older, man, it's something. It's everything that you hear about, it's true, right? And when I was a kid, I used to work at this gas station and for a little while in Kansas City. And this guy, I'd come in the morning, and he'd say, "It's going to rain today. My feet are twitching." I'd say, "Oh, this guy's nuts. He's drunk anyway, you know." And I'd come in, he says, "It's going to thunderstorm. My elbow's hurting." And you know what? That guy's right. I'll tell you, last week, I'm sitting there, and an injury that I had when I was 15 years old just lit up like crazy when I was sitting there. And I went, "What in the world is that?" And it thundered. We had this unbelievable rain. And this morning I woke up, and every ache and pain I have in my body is going like this. So guess what? I'm 60 years old now. I'm a barometer, okay? Hey, I'm mutating. How about that? Okay, it means nothing. All right, good stuff. Good to see everybody. Pastor Randy has taken some refreshing, and he will be back very soon. Next week, and as Jimmy said all those wonderful things about that tragic event, my oh my. Okay, here we go. We know that the whole world, what Pastor Jimmy read, has been groaning as in birth of child pains up to this present time. When God created the world, it was perfect. You know why? Because he's a perfect God. Amen? All right. He's a perfect God. The word create is baha raha. It means, it's a beautiful word. Because remember something, the Hebrew language is a very interesting language. It's a picturesque language. Our language is an American language, English language is kind of vague in some ways. If I was going to say Jimmy was deaf, we would just say Jimmy's deaf. In Hebrew, the word would be sound no longer enters Jimmy's ear. And you see, it's got this picture to it. And so this Hebrew word for creation, it means to carve out, to cut, to sculpture, to rearrange into position. So when God made this earth, the word says that he commanded it and it became anything he says. But if you look at it the way he really did it, he carved out. He sculptured. He positioned. That's why he told the Rocky Mountains, "You go here." He told the river ravines and the plains and all the different places, "This is where you'll be." The ocean, "This is where you'll stay." That's why all waters run to the ocean. Isn't that something? That the earth is all the different dimensions that it has, and God carved it out exactly perfect. We live on a perfectly created earth. Amen? Amen, Victor. Okay, remember, I amend myself, I encourage myself, I preach this when no one is in the room. All right, it was a masterpiece. It was perfect. It was unbelievable. Now, also think about the garden, how magnificent it was. I love and always go back to the garden. I think it's just so fascinating. It's where it all began. It's everything's about it. It was the only glimpse of perfection I will ever, ever have. Now, in the garden, there was no worries, there was no rain, there was no work, there was not even any need of clothing. The verse that was left up there a second ago, Genesis 2:25, is that they were naked and ashamed. They were, Adam and his wife were both naked and felt no shame. That's my favorite verse in the whole Bible, especially now that I'm older and gravity and weight and posture. Come on, help me. Okay, that's a pretty great thing right there, isn't it? To leave that like that. And that's how God left them, in complete perfection. They didn't even know they were naked. It was wonderful. I want you to know that God created this earth, this garden atmosphere, was perfectly 100% climatized. It was just perfection. There was a need for wind or rain or anything, just marvelous. It just could not get any better than that. Amen. All was well on earth. God and his creation were at one, perfect in every single way. And then, one of our doctrines of the church, the temptation of man, the fall of man. When Adam and Eve sinned, they broke the fellowship with God. Remember, folks, that when we sin, we sin, we hurt each other, and we do different things and things like that. But when we sin against God. Amen? Not against one another as a result of it, but we ultimately sinned against God. And the fellowship was broken. And man became a broken vessel. That day in that garden, Romans 5:12 tells us, look at this right here, Romans 5:12 tells us, therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and then this way death came to all because all have sinned. All of us are sinners for two reasons. We're sinners by birth, and the tricky one is that we're sinners by choice. Amen? This one man talking about Adam, of course. Now, I want you to think about all that happened that particular day. What happened to Adam and Eve in that garden? You talk about a bad day. You talk about a life-transforming, changing day. And remember, all of us are one phone call, one email, one text away from life being changed. Come on, folks. Life could hit tilt real quick. Amen? You can get one phone call, something can happen, you can find out one thing goes wrong, and it's a different world. Everything's different. The way you think, the way you live, who you're coming home to, who you're not coming home to can change. And on this day, in the garden, Adam, is what happens, his wife talks to a stranger, basically, while he's out at work, and he comes home, and he is terminated from his job, taking care of the garden, right? Not only is he terminated from his job, he's evicted. And not only is he evicted, he is kicked out of the state. Okay, so I get terminated from Trinity Life Center. I have to move out of my house at 205 Sam Jonas. And then I got to leave the state of Nevada that day. Now, I don't know about you, but that, to me, is a bad day. Somebody say, that's a bad day. And on top of it, on everything, look at Genesis 3:24. Just to show you, after he drove man, drove him out, he placed on the east side of the Garden of Eden a cherub and a flaming sword flashing back and forth to guard the way to the tree of life. The Lord says, out you go. He puts his cherub over there with this sword that's kind of like, says it's flashing back and forth, right? Not making this up. It says, come on, don't you come back. It's like this is a ninja cherub or something like that. I don't know why God says that, but this sword is flashing back and forth. Let me tell you something. It's a frightful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. That's not Victor saying, that's Paul. That's the word of God saying, amen. Amen, Victor. Okay. Don't forget, folks. Don't ever forget as we take a step back here today and visit the garden. We think about our life that we live every day. Do not forget what sin will do to you. Do not forget where sin will drive you to. Sin will always take you further than you want to go. It'll make you pay more than you want to pay. It'll make you stay longer than you want to stay. Now, that's not just an old preacher talk. That is a fact. That if we do not take control, God told Cain when he killed his brother that sin is crouching at your door and you must master it. Every single day as a Christian, as a believer, our number one job is to master sin. Amen? Is to be the master over sin, meaning that I don't serve it, I master it through the great cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen, Victor. Okay. Now, the earth was broken, and it was cursed. Genesis 3, 17 and 19. I love to show scriptures because it's just so beautiful. To Adam, he said, because you listened to your wife. I know this doesn't make you ladies feel too good, okay? Because you listened to your wife and ate the fruit of the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat from it. Isn't there another one? Is that it? Of 18 and 19? Okay. Okay, we don't have that. Okay, we just have the one. Because you've not eaten, but he says, cursed is the ground. It says the ground will now be cursed. It'll produce thorns and thistles, and you will work by the sweat of your brow every single day. So this beautiful, wonderful, climatized earth now, because of sin, is punished The verse that Pastor Jimmy read, the climatization that was there, that was so beautiful to protect man, now is taken away. Now, I'm not here to prove any political point or anything, but my Bible, your Bible, emphatically says that a climate change can take place. Come on. Okay, and it took place, and so severe was it, that climate change, that day, that God had to put clothes on them. They didn't have clothes. God killed an animal, and I want you to know that when sin came into the world, blood was shed. It's very, says that he took a garment of skins and he covered them. Skin doesn't come from tomatoes. It doesn't come from potatoes. Although it has a skin, but it's a garment of skins. And God shed blood the very second sin came into the world. Now, I don't know what your position is. And God has subject, in Romans 8:20, it says that God has subject creation to frustration. That's an unbelievable statement. God has said, I'm going to subject you. Subject means I'm going to select this particular thought. Subject means I'm going to select this particular model. And the model, sweet, wonderful earth, beautiful earth of mine, is going to be frustration. You that I love, you that I made an earth, a place, you are going to be frustrated. Now, my Bible says that the rocks could cry out, all right? All right? This earth is a living organism, is a living, breathing thing. And if you don't think so, just try to do without anything on this planet for 1 second, including this beautiful glass of water. Amen? Come on, that comes, okay? And he is selected. Now, I don't know what your position is on global warming. I don't know what your position is on climate change. But I do know this, that the earth would like to have a little talk with God. And if I can go ahead and say what the earth would say to God, says to Victor, it'd go something like this. God, creator of all things, thanks for making me. I'm the earth. But you know what? When you put them two-legged people here, the ones that can talk and walk, fellowship with you, it was good a little bit. But when they didn't listen to you, it went real bad for me. Earth good, man bad. Earth good, man bad. And I know that the earth would like to tell God, how long will I be subject to frustration because of the sins of man? And know this today, without a shadow of a doubt, that this earth right now is moaning and groaning with that of like childbearing effects right now, waiting to be liberated. And I don't know about you, but I and you and each and every one of us are moaning and groaning because this is a busted, broken world. How many of you want Jesus to come? Amen? And how many want to be liberated from this earth? How many want to be taken from this bondage of decay? Amen? Amen. Okay. All right. You love me? You got to love me to go to heaven. It's a package deal. I go, you go. I don't go, you don't go. Okay. Okay, the world is a broken place, and everything that we have will become broken. Think about all the broken things in your life. My wife's here. She's going to like me saying some of this. I'm a wonderful house handyman. I take care of stuff. But I was sitting at my table last night studying my message, and this morning once again, and we all live with broken stuff every day. Come on, don't we? Broken stuff. And I was just sitting there in my kitchen, and I was thinking, how many things around me are broken? I was amazed. Sarah, you need to get mad at me a little bit. Okay, we have two doors that have two locks, and only one of them on each door works. The good one works. Okay, the bottom, when I just took it off one day, you know, it's got this pretty handle. It's a handle, okay? Two of them, front door and back door. They just say, hey, where do you live? We're going to come rob you. Okay, and then my wife wanted this beautiful artificial fireplace, and we got it, and oh my goodness, it heats up the whole house. We got this rock thing, and it's real cool. It saves us a ton of money. We don't even use the heater. Well, after a week of that, Jerry's here. Jerry came over and fixed the remote control for me. Remember, Jerry, you came and fixed it? It hasn't worked since you fixed it. It only worked that year that Jerry said it. My wife has been on the phone with all the help people and all that stuff. It doesn't work. And it was brand new, okay? I have two closets. I can go on forever. I have these two beautiful closets, one in my hallway. And to open it, you have to go like this. You have to grab it, and you have to jiggle it, you have to lift it up, and you have to pull it over. And everybody in my house goes over to the closet to get a coat or a sweater and goes like this. It's broken. But guess what? It works, okay? And I could just go on and on and on. And forget about Wes and Cindy, our boats. We own this boat. Everything's broken. You've been on there, Santana, and right? Everything's broken. You got to jiggle the handle and then push it forward to get it in the reverse, okay? And it's just amazing. But guess what? Well, we go out there all the time and we use it, and it's a beautiful thing. As what I'm trying to say is that every one of us, every single day, live with all kinds of broken things. Amen? Amen. Anybody else have broken stuff in their house that you're dealing with right now? Okay, you know you should replace that. All right, okay. The world's a broken place. Let's just watch this video right now about brokenness. Thank you. Please don't go to work tomorrow and practice what you learned in church. Okay. Thanks, Bo, guys. Bad day, definitely bad day. Okay. All right. Lives are broken. All over the world, people, lives and work. I mean, I'm not going to get into a lot of stuff, but to say this morning, that we have a broken government is an understatement. Amen? I don't care what side you're on or what color, blue, red, what you pick, whatever your poison is, I want you to know that our government is broken. It is a do-nothing, get-nothing-done government on both sides. And yes, amen. Well, it's a sad thing to applaud, but I'll tell you what. It has nothing to do with the president, has nothing to do with Senate, has nothing to do with the Congress. You know what it has something to do with? Hatred. We live in a time when our government hates each other. And I want you to know, as Christians, we should be broken. And I have my own beliefs, and I believe in all the good things that a lot of people that we agree on stand up for. But the fact is that nothing is getting done is hurting the United States of America. And I heard this old man say, amen, I heard this old man say, an old congressman said, when he was asked about all the partisanship and all the things, and I am not taking one side at all. I'm on the side of the Lord Jesus Christ who loves everyone. Amen. And he says that he puts government in authorities and he says you are to pray for them, whoever's in there. But this man said, he was asked by Tim Russett. Dear Tim Russett is gone. The old Meet the Press guy, I loved him. He said, what's missing is the beer factor. I said, what? And he says, what's missing is the beer factor. This government now does not, at the end of the day, go, no matter what they disagree about, have a beer together and work it out and talk about it. When things are calm and stuff, now they won't even be seen with one another. So unfortunately, folks, our government is broken and it's a sad state of affairs. People are, our society is broken. The social injustice, I don't have time and I don't want to harp on this morning, but we know still in 2014, the things that take place that were supposed to be settled hundreds of years ago and even through laws and stuff still take place, don't they? They do. There's injustice. There's social injustice. There's all kinds of injustice. The killing and the starvation and the things that take place is a busted, broken world. People that work two jobs can barely feed their family. That's a broken world, folks. Help me, okay? And I'm not trying to prove a point here. Just to understand what God's telling us this morning, we must understand brokenness. And you can't just walk by things and say, oh, they'll get better. They're broken. Okay? Certain things, you can't wiggle, shake, and pull. It's not going to change it, and you can't live with it. What you can do is trust the Lord, and that's all we can do. Laws are broken every single day. Amen. Laws are broken. The laws that are there to help us sometimes, and I say this so respectfully, are a joke. Help me. Sometimes our laws have turned into a joke. What happens, I want you to know, is Jimmy prayed for Israel this morning. You know what sets Israel apart outside of the hand of the living God being on them, them being the chosen remnant people kept by God? You want a reason to believe in God, it's Israel, okay? Doesn't compute why they're still there. But they do two things that America doesn't do. And if they did these two things that we don't do, our nation would be a stronger, more solid, secure, wonderful place. And you know what that is? Say, what is it? They enforce their laws and they punish their enemies. They enforce their laws and they punish their enemies. And it's the reason why we make laws so they can be enforced. And the reason why we enforce a law so we can bring punishment. Somebody needs to remind somebody of that. Help me, okay? But they're a good thing. That's why God put them in place. Not only are they good, they are essential. God, who's the creator of everything, he came up with 10 laws. Come on, all right? And he said they have to be enforced, and if not, there would be consequences. Amen? And today, we do not, our government, our laws are broken. Promises are broken. The promises of marriage are broken. Now, remember something. All the brokenness When you say brokenness, you can almost say it's the unintentional consequences of sin. All brokenness is the unintentional consequence of sin. Because of sin, it caused something else to take place. Now, promises are broken in every way. I love the promise keeper thing that's died off to the side, but I thought it was so wonderful for men to have a place to rally around and get into a stadium with 60, 70,000 men and remind them collectively that we're to keep our promises. Help me, okay? We still need a reminder every day. That's why you promise to love your wife. You promise to love your husband. You promise to take care of your family. Am I all alone up here? Okay. And then partnerships are broken. You make promises when you go into businesses. You make promises when you start working together. And they get broken. And they get busted through distrust and different things like that. Businesses are broken. And not only that, nowadays, in the time we live in, pensions are broken. Social Security. There is no longer security for anybody. I mean, it should never have happened, ever, that any pension cannot pay the people that worked. Come on. And pensions are broken now. They're defunct. They're taken apart. And it's just unbelievable. And to me, not enough people go to jail. That's coming from an Italian guy whose number one goal in life was to stay out of jail. Okay? All right. But it's a true story. All right, man. I'm going to stop all this in just a second and get back. But come on. You with me? Is this right? Is this what's happening today? People are broken. Homes are broken. Now, my wife and I have been married 40 years, and I love Sarah with all my heart. And we've been fortunate, man. We work hard on our marriage, work hard in our homes, and we haven't had the pain of divorce personally. But in our family, there's been divorce. And it's broken our own lives. We all deal with it. If you're divorced here today and you're remarried, you're brand new and all that. But brokenness, and I want you to know that you all know, divorce doesn't mean that it's over, right? It just means that you handle it in a different way, especially if you got kids and stuff. Help me, come on, right? Men and women are broken. Men don't know how to be men. Women don't know how to be women. Am I a woman? Am I a man? Am I alive? Am I dead? I don't know. But these are all things, you know? And families are broken above all. And one of the things that has made America and what God's plan was for the family. And the family is decimated. It's broken. It's just struggling so bad. That's why we put so much emphasis. And above all, dreams are broken. Dreams are broken. Aspirations, expectations, things that you wanted to be and things that you wanted to do, because of life and because of things get in and things happen, they become broken. Well, Vic, you're a real bummer this morning. And what do you do with brokenness? You turn it over to an expert on brokenness. When you need a real answer, how many of you have been in a place where you just need an answer? You need to know exactly what to do. You've tried this, you've tried that, you've done this, you've done that, and you know what? You got to this point where you say, I don't care what it takes, I want to know what to do. Have you ever got to that place? That's the greatest place that you can ever be in the world. And the person who understands brokenness, the person who understands it more than anyone that's ever put feet on this earth, you know his name, Jesus. Amen. Say it with me, Jesus. He understands brokenness and he understands it. We in the scriptures this morning, 1 Corinthians 11:24. Do we have that scripture there? And he said, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and he said, this is my body, which do in remembrance of me. In another translation, I want it to be in a New King James. It says, this is my body, which is broken for you. Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God. Go to Hebrews 13, 11 and 13. Do we have that? The high priest carries the blood of animals into the most holy place as a sin offering, but the bodies are burnt outside the camp. And so Jesus also suffered outside the city gates to make people holy through his own blood. let us go to him outside the camp and bear the disgrace that he bore. Now, the high priest would select a lamb for Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, every year. And that lamb, they would take a goat, and they would pray over that goat, and they would let him go into the wilderness. That was called the scapegoat. And they would take this lamb, and the high priest, they would look between its fingers, between its feet, and every part of its body, its ears, its mouth, and to see if there was any spot or any blemish on that lamb. And if there was a spot or a blemish or any defect on that lamb, they would get rid of it. And my Jesus, your Jesus, who is the Lamb of God, who came to take away the sins of the world, comes in, and these high priests, they don't know it, but they take him and they examine him. Did you make the lame walk? Did you make the blind see? Did you walk on water? Did you do this? Are you that? Are you this? Are you that? Are you the Messiah? And then when he said he was, they ripped their garments. What they had waited for, and the question that they wanted answered, when they got it, they didn't like it. Sometimes, folks, you're not going to like the package. And don't miss God, because it doesn't fit your social economic package. Amen? And that's what they did with Jesus. And they took him outside the camp, and they broke him. And they put him up on a cross, and he is the one who understands brokenness. Had Jesus Christ not been broken, you and I would be hopeless today. Amen, amen. Thank you, Jesus. Now, my Jesus, your Jesus, who the broken Jesus, Isaiah says that he came to bind up the brokenhearted. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom to the captives and a release from darkness for those who are in prison. This is the beginning, the entrance of Jubilee. When Jesus walked into the synagogue in Luke chapter 4, and he got up there, the word, reading the word, and he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to bind up the brokenhearted. Folks, that's why Jesus came, because every heart, every person, this was a universal statement, was broken because of sin. Amen? Amen. Now, we are to be broken. Psalms 51:17. My sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. You, God, you will not despise. This is David, one of his greatest psalms of repentance, that he says to God, the sacrifice that God loves is a broken spirit and a broken contrite heart. Folks, this morning, have you ever come to that place? And I'm sure you have. You have done something that you're just disgusted with. Come on. You don't have to raise your hand. All right? The Holy Spirit has shined that beamer, that light, that massive sun, kilowatt light on your sins. And you're broken. You're broken. I have had times with the Lord that I felt like I couldn't move, because I was identifying my brokenness. And I want you to know, the happiest place that you can have with God, is when you're broken. And when you're dealing, you're not making excuses. You're not blame shifting. You're not fault finding. You're not doing anything but saying, God, I'm broken. My spirit inside of me, I can hardly move. In my heart, it's broken, Lord. I put myself at your feet. And I want you to know, when you get to that place, you get to the highest place on earth. Amen? Amen. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. Psalms 34:18. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted, and he saves those who are crushed in spirit. Oh, it's so beautiful. The righteous person may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers them from them all. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. When I just told you, now, when you go through that time, the Lord is near you. You want to be close to the Lord? Be broken. Be broken. I know this is not a happy message. It's going to get there, okay? God is close to the broken. God can and will only use broken vessels. All your education, all your ability, all your skill, all the things that you think that are important in the world mean nothing to God. God wants you to come completely broken. He took the Apostle Paul, who sat at the feet of the great Gamaliel. Paul from Alexandria, which meant being from like Yale or Harvard. Paul, who was on his way to be the head of the church of the Sadducees, as the Pharisees. Paul, God had to take him, blind him, and break him. Had someone lead him around. He didn't even know where he was going. Couldn't even find a cup of water. God had to take this wonderful vessel and bust him in two. And I don't know about you folks this morning, but I welcome God to do with me whatever he wants. How about somebody else in here today? Huh? How about it, huh? Okay. God can only and will use broken vessels. God will allow all of our sins, our failures, our mistakes, and our goof-ups. Oh, goof-ups. I mean, he's got some goof-ups, huh? I should have a shirt said a goofy goof-up, okay? All of our hurts, all of our habits, and all of our hang-ups. God draws us closer to him. I want you to know something. God will not waste your pain. No way, no how. It's valuable to him. When something hurts you, when you go through something and it's the hard way, and you do it your own way, usually when you do it your way, it's going to hurt. Come on, help me. Okay, go ahead, but it's going to hurt. You do it God's way, it's going to be a lot better. Still might be difficult, but it's going to be a lot, it's not going to hurt as much. Amen? In God, sometimes the Lord himself will break us because he loves us. Now, Jesus, good shepherd. Amen? So it says, he's a good shepherd, we're sheep. Everybody say, bah. Okay. He calls his sheep affectionately because he's a shepherd and he loves us. But in reality, the sheep is not very bright, okay? Not very smart. You never see a sheep in a circus, ball on his nose. You don't see a sheep going through the hoops. Okay, you don't see a sheep doing tricks. If you're waiting for a sheep to bring your slippers, they ain't coming. Okay? You're waiting for them to go get the paper? It's not going to happen because sheep don't do that. But you know what sheep do? They love their shepherd. And sheep stay close to one another. Sheep are a communal animal. They have to be together. That's why when they get away and they get on their own, they're in trouble. And my Bible, your Bible, tells us a great parable of 100. That suppose the man had 100 sheep, and one of them left. Would he leave the 99? The answer is no way. Okay, let's do a cost average in here. If I got 100 and I only lose one, I'm still ahead. Come on, some businessman, tell me, okay? My books are still good. I'm not going to forfeit 99 sheep for one little bad sheep who lost his way. But your God, my Jesus, he leaves the 99. And he goes and he finds the one. And when he finds that one that maybe he's found before, that he's left the 99 before, he takes that sheep. Because sometimes the Bible tells us that if you've been a sheep herder, if you know, a great book is Life of a Shepherd by Philip Keller, Psalms 23, that if a sheep, if he gets on its back, it can't get up. I don't know why. And it's called backslidden. It becomes a state of death. And what the shepherd will do, he'll get the sheep, and he'll flip him over, and he'll massage his diaphragm. And he'll go, my little sheep, I'm so worried about you. I've been looking everywhere for you. I don't want a lion to get you. I don't want a bear to get you. I don't want the stream to take you. And you can't leave anymore, and you keep leaving, and one day I won't be able to find you, and a wolf will get you. And so he takes his sheep after he starts restores his respiratory system, and he does something so painful and so difficult that it seems unusual to us, excuse me. Breaks his leg. He loves that sheep. so much that he breaks the leg of his sheep. And then when he takes that sheep, because his leg is broken now, he puts it on his shoulders. And you've seen the pictures. And he carries that sheep. He don't look at that sheep and say, "You bad little sheep, when I get home, you're lamb chops." Okay? He don't do that. He says, "You bad little sheep, I don't know why I come looking for you. I'm missing the ball game." Oh, you know what he says? He says, "I love you. I love you. And you're going to stay next to me because you're broken right now. And you're going to stay next to me until your brokenness is gone. You're going to stay on my shoulders until you're not broken anymore. And then, because you're going to spend time with me. And when I get done with you, you're going to know how much I love you. And you're going to know that whatever it takes, as long as you are committed to me, I'm committed to you." And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us this morning, folks, with brokenness. Now, some of you, I told you about all the broken stuff I got in my house, okay? And I hate technology. I can't even understand it. I love Jimmy. Jimmy, he's perfect. He helps me with everything when it comes to that kind of stuff. I get all his hand-me-downs, and it's good, okay? Because he put everything in there, and I could still barely use them. But I want you to know is that all of us, some of you, you got this broken filter of your receiver of information in your head, in your heart. And that filter allows information to come into your head and to your heart and tell you, you're not going to finish school. You're not going to get that degree that you've been working for 30 years on. Cindy's got every degree you can imagine. I love Cindy and Wes. They keep getting degrees. That filter will allow things to come in and say, you're never going to get that home that you wanted, even a first home or a second home. They'll come in and they'll say, you're not going to get that promotion. That filter allows these things to come in. Your kids, they're losers. They're never going to come out of their experimenting or their problems or their difficulties. It's never going to happen. I don't know about you, but my four kids are working on their testimonies. Come on. Okay? That filter will allow things to come in and tell you, you're not smart enough. You're not good enough. You're not strong enough. You don't know what it takes to make it in this world today. You'll never have enough money. You'll never get healed. You'll never be in full health. You'll never lose the weight, the bonza here. Okay? You'll never be able to do any of the things that you want to do. You know why that stuff comes in? Anybody? Am I the only person that hears voices in my head? Help me. Come on. Let me give me one of these. Okay? That filter is broken. And I'm all the time, Jimmy, what do I do? Jimmy, turn your phone off, do this, and start over again. We need to turn it off. Get on our knees and start over again. And when that stuff comes in, that you're not good enough, that you're not smart enough, you're not handsome enough, you're not good enough, you don't have what it takes, you need to go delete, 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 delete. Because I want you to know, my wonderful God, your wonderful God, he says that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You are more than a conqueror. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are the apple of my eye. Know ye not, when someone messes with you, they mess with me. You'll walk through the flood and they won't overwhelm you. You'll walk through the fire and they won't burn you. Only if you will trust in me. Stand with me today. David, come here. Unfortunately, the only way that we learn these things, my Bible says in the book of Hebrews chapter 4, and I don't even like this verse, and it's very, it's not very normal for me to say I don't like a verse, but it says that Jesus learned obedience through what he suffered. That's what it says. Why does Jesus have to learn anything? You know why? because he became like you and he became like me. Amen? And yet without sin. And so he knows today what it feels like to have any hurt, habit, hang up, any disappointment, any failure. But today, folks, the key that unlocks your ability to live an overcoming, victorious life is for you to choose to do it. It's just that simple. For you to choose, I will walk in the power of God. I will not worry. I will not fret. The Lord is with me. He loved me. He promised me. He said he'll never leave me and he'll never forsake me.